thank you for the warm welcome and invitation to be with you this morning. Particularly resonates with me as of 26 years ago, almost to the day I was here for my ordination, so it's good to be back. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and Redeemer. This third Sunday of Advent is one of joy, the celebration of the gift that comes through the Incarnation and the gifts we can be for and with each other. May there be shouts of praise. Let there be laughter and joy. From what has been spoken of this morning, I have no doubt kids under canvas camps and the relationships which were formed in the name of the church were indeed places and times of laughter and joy. The camps are so worthy of this celebration today, with a dose of lament too, that such opportunities are precious few in our increasingly regulated systems of support. The Scottish theologian John Swinton says, quote, "The theology of disability is central to our understanding of what it means to know who God is and to know what it means to be a human being living fully under God." This indeed is a bold claim, reminding us of the importance of thinking theologically about disability, as well as allowing the experience of disability to shape the ways we think and talk about God. In today's Gospel reading from Luke chapter 3, we read of John the Baptist's response to the question from the crowd, "What then should we do?" His responses were, "Share your coat and food with those who have none. Collect no more than the amount prescribed to you. Don't extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations." In proclaiming the good news, John then says that he baptizes with water, but the one who is to come will baptize with the Holy Spirit. In Paul's letter to the second Corinthians this morning that we read, it is the one and same Spirit who transforms our earthly tent and mortal selves with the gift of life. When I think back to experiences of being a kid under canvas, it was being tucked up in my sleeping bag when it was bitterly cold with pelting rain, or taking shelter from the searing heat of the sun, not to mention the mosquitoes, the flies and the occasional leech, but that's another story. At its best, there was a sense of being protected from the elements and most importantly being with others, family and friends, a temporary community feeling embraced by the gift and adventure of life. In his excellent book, Exclusion and Embrace, A Theological Exploration of Identity, Otherness and Reconciliation, theologian Miroslav Volf writes from a Christian perspective that people of faith are not called to embrace everyone who is different or seen as stranger or other. Rather, we are called to have the will to embrace. He describes it as a dance. It begins as one moves toward another with open arms. That's the first step. The second is not the embrace, because an embrace without permission or with an implied, "I'm going to love or help you whether you want it or not," is not going to work, especially where people may be very sensitive to touch or invasion of personal space. Rather, in the second step, we take a pause. We drop our hands, we step back, and we begin a dialogue. See what truth needs to be told before the embrace can be real or the dance begin. Such dialogue is about recognising the person's lived reality and experience. It means a validation of that person's world. Among other things, it entails being sensitive to their situation without being embarrassed by it, being empathetic without condescending, being there with another person without intruding into their independence. It also means anticipating the areas of possible discrimination and exclusion in order to ensure the church does not become the disabler. So if we're seeking a different canvas, what might that look like? Followers of Jesus need to ask a couple of key questions. In what ways do religious and societal structures maintain discrimination towards people with disabilities? In particular, how do the structures of the church create or maintain discrimination towards people with disabilities in the life of its faith community and its outreach? Christians are called to critique and resist those cultures and attitudes that perpetuate discrimination. Whilst physical access is one obvious gesture towards hospitality, we also need to pay attention to and, where necessary, critique the ways we go about developing policy, planning and programming, the structures and procedures of our meetings. How might we be agents for rich and meaningful friendships which are encouraged and sustained? Offsetting loneliness and social isolation for many people with disability is critical. The lived experiences of people with disabilities in our churches and society takes us to the heart of our theology, how we understand God. As well as questions surrounding disability, we also need to wrestle theologically with our understanding of ableness. God is often portrayed as perfect in the sense that God is complete, all-knowing, all-powerful, absolutely and completely independent. On this definition, the call from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, the call to be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect, is a call to strength, independence and self-reliance. Yet, we believe that we can know what God is like by looking at Jesus. When we think about ideas of perfection, we need to think about the way that Jesus shows us what God's perfection actually looks like. Jesus took the path of self-emptying and humility to the point of suffering and death. Both the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament talk about God's self-giving love, which is the kind of love that defines God's perfection. In her groundbreaking book, The Disabled God, Nancy Easland claims that God becomes the suffering companion who understands the experiences of the other, who speaks to our human experience and who offers love and hope. From what I know of Kids Under Canvas, and I've learnt more this morning, it has been an extraordinary expression of how we understand God and respond to the call in Luke's Gospel with hospitality, generosity and mutuality. Of a dance which began some 50 years ago and continues with its legacy and ongoing relationships. In conclusion, from this understanding of God as humble, self-emptying and perfect to the point of death, we are called into relationships with people with disabilities. People are seen not in terms of their relative ableness. Instead, they bear witness to the nature of divine love and remind us that God sees the world in the way the person with a disability experiences it. As Jesus reminded his followers, God is present in a very concrete way in the stranger, the poor, and the hungry. This different canvas, in the light of the gospel, calls us into relationships with people labelled by disability, relationships of companionship and cooperation in the task of reconciliation and love which transforms our earthly tent. Amen.